Thank you for your regular and generous support of Issues Etc. in the past year, 2008. A good summary of my hopes for Issues Etc. for 2009 are St. Paul's words to the Colossians. Pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Thank you again for your support of Issues Etc. We'll continue defending the faith, teaching the truth, and making the most of every opportunity to proclaim Christ and Him crucified.
I've actually read back over the inaugural prayers of the last 30 or 40 years, and frankly, I've been shocked at how aggressively Christian they are. And my intention is not to invoke the name of Jesus, but to make this a prayer for Christians and non-Christians alike. And so rather than insert that and really exclude them from the prayer by doing so, I want this to be a prayer to the God of our many understandings and a prayer that all people of faith can join me in.
That's Bishop Gene Robinson. Now, he's made news before. No big surprise here that he's in the news. He gives interviews frequently. He is the bishop of New Hampshire in the Episcopal Church USA. One of the things that has brought him into the news lately is he's one among several that President-elect Barack Obama has decided to invite to the inauguration and to speak there and to give an invocation or a prayer. We're going to be playing an interview from National Public Radio for the first half hour of this hour of Issues, Etc., with Gene Robinson, talking about that upcoming address at the inauguration events in Washington, D.C. next week. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's Audio Open Lines. I want your reaction to this National Public Radio interview with Gene Robinson. Our call-in number live this Wednesday afternoon, January the 14th, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Now, in the second part of the program, Scott Klusendorf will join us. We'll continue a weekly series with him on bad ways to argue about abortion. Today, the ad hominem argument, it's a fancy way of saying arguing against the person rather than against their argument. We'll find out what's wrong with it and how to counteract it and how to avoid it ourselves. Scott Klusendorf, president of Life Training Institute, will be our guest. Now, as you listen to this National Public Radio interview with Bishop Gene Robinson, consider a few things. First of all, this is not just a clergyman, but this is a bishop of a diocese in the Episcopal Church USA, the oldest Protestant denomination in the United States. Now, they have strayed considerably from Orthodox Christianity in many and various ways. But this is still a man who, at least outwardly and visibly, falls within the pale of the Christian Church. He claims to be a Christian. He claims to believe in Jesus Christ in some sense. So bear that in mind as you hear what he plans to do when he takes the podium on behalf of President-elect Barack Obama at the inauguration kickoff event next week. Also bear a couple of other things in mind, and that is, it's not unusual to have clergy come and address these kind of events. That's not the unusual thing here. It's what Gene Robinson plans to do. In fact, he admits himself in this interview that he's been going back over some of that old inauguration material from 30 and 40 years ago. And as he said, you heard just a moment ago, he's shocked to see how, what's the term he used? Aggressively Christian? It is. He doesn't plan to be aggressively Christian when he speaks his prayer in Washington, D.C., in front of the television cameras and for all eyes to see, ears to hear next week. So as you listen, I'd like to know from you, how would you respond to Gene Robinson? It's a simple question. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or you can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll be stopping and starting this, giving you an opportunity to respond for the next half hour of the program. Here's the interview from National Public Radio.
The first openly gay Episcopal bishop, Gene Robinson, has been chosen to deliver the invocation at Barack Obama's kickoff inaugural event this Sunday. The New Hampshire bishop will offer a prayer at the We Are One concert at the Lincoln Memorial. The announcement follows controversy over Mr. Obama's choice of the conservative evangelical pastor Rick Warren to deliver the invocation at the inauguration itself. Pastor Warren has angered gay rights supporters, most recently by his support of the ballot measure that banned same-sex marriage in California. Well, Bishop Gene Robinson joins us to talk about this. Bishop Robinson, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Melissa. It's great to be back.
Do you think that Barack Obama is, in essence, balancing the scales here? I mean, choosing you to mitigate the anger in the gay community and beyond over his choice of Rick Warren?
No, not really. I think Barack Obama is turning out to be exactly who he told us he was going to be, which is a person under a very large umbrella that will include all Americans. And while I, too, was concerned with the naming of Rick Warren as the person to give the invocation at the inauguration, the whole inauguration wasn't yet planned, and I am simply delighted to be a part of it.
Does the timing indicate to you that they responded to the criticism of Pastor Warren? That announcement came on December 17th. When did you get your own invitation to speak?
I was actually invited about 2.5 weeks ago, but I'm told, and I believe it's true, that this was in the works actually quite a long time, and it's really based on the brief but important relationship that I established with then-Senator Obama very early on in the New Hampshire primary.
All right, let's take a break here. Not a break from you, but a break from the interview. I want to hear from you. How would you respond to Gene Robinson? He plans to go there. So far, no real problem here about what's going on. He's been invited to speak, give a prayer at a key event for Barack Obama's inauguration next week in Washington, D.C. He's going there, at least in some sense, not as a direct counterbalance, but in some way as a counterbalance to Rick Warren's invitation. Rick Warren, of course, is going to give the invocation at the inauguration itself. Rick Warren, of course, being the pastor of Saddleback Church out in California, famous for the purpose-driven life and 40 days of purpose, but also famous for at least publicly taking a stand against homosexuality, publicly taking a stand against the legalization of gay marriage in California. Everybody's waiting on pins and needles to see what Rick Warren is going to say. No one really knows what he's going to say. My hopes are high, to tell you the truth. I hope the best for Rick Warren's address because I know he's a man who is capable of making a clear confession of Jesus Christ in a public forum. I know he's capable of it. He has not always done it to my satisfaction and I think to just met the bar of minimum basic standards there, but he's capable of doing it. My hopes are high. Gene Robinson, on the other hand, doesn't make a heavy practice of confessing Christ publicly. He's more about the gay thing. He's more about gay rights. He's more about gay marriage. And he's more about being the first openly gay bishop in the Episcopal Church USA. How would you respond to the invitation? But also, how would you respond to him saying, look, I've been advising their campaign for a long time, and it's only natural that they would ask me to do that? 1-877-623-6943. It's audio open lines issues, etc. We're coming to you live this Wednesday, the 14th of January. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. So nothing controversial about Gene Robinson being invited by Barack Obama. What does he plan to say?
And then I continued to work behind the scenes in the campaign, advising the campaign and Senator Obama, particularly around gay and lesbian, bisexual and transgender issues.
Well, what is your message going to be this Sunday when you deliver the invocation?
Well, I'm not exactly sure I will know until that moment.
You probably wouldn't want to spoil the surprise by telling me right now.
Well, exactly. I think it'll be a surprise to me. And I expect to be somewhat overwhelmed by the setting. You know, that's the Lincoln Memorial is my favorite place in all of Washington. I have always wept at those words of Abraham Lincoln inscribed there. But of course, it was also the scene of the I Have a Dream speech. It was where Marian Anderson sang at the request of Eleanor Roosevelt. So to be there with President-elect Obama is just an incredible honor. I plan to pray both for the new president, of course, but also for the country. You know, this will be a very happy event, but it's important to pause and remember that we're entering a very difficult time in the life of our country, and a lot will be asked of us as well as of this new president.
Okay, so he's got kind of the general, I'm going to a big event. This is going to be a lifetime kind of event for any clergyman to be asked to speak at an inauguration. That's history-making stuff. Right there at the Lincoln Memorial, a place of great history in and of itself. This is a moment in history because Barack Obama, the first African-American president of the United States, will have all eyes on him. Therefore, the whole event will be considered in its historical context already. But I think that goes without saying with most inaugurations. He's going there. He's going to pray for the country. We've got tough times ahead. Nothing exciting there. It's interesting when she asked him, what will your message be? Now, he might not have had time to prepare, but he's saying, don't really know what I'm going to say. When we come back from this break, you'll find out he does know what he's not going to say. He may not know what he is going to say, but he does know what he's not going to mention. Besides the platitudinous, I'll pray for the country, tough times are ahead, this president is going to need all the help he can get. A clergyman asked to speak at an event to pray publicly, at any kind of an event. He has a twofold duty, doesn't he? I mean, he's being asked there to speak as a citizen, to pray as a citizen, at the request of his future president. But he also answers to a higher power, doesn't he? I mean, it's not just, well, they invited me to come and speak and they set the agenda, so I pretty much said what they wanted me to say. He also answers to God, doesn't he? I mean, after all, this is a bishop of a diocese in the oldest Protestant denomination in the United States. He has a duty to speak not only as a citizen, but also as a man of God. We'll see what he plans not to say on the other side of this break. It's Thursday afternoon, January the 14th. I'm Todd Wilkin. What do you think? What do you think from what you've heard so far from Bishop Gene Robinson so far? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. It's audio open lines. 10 more minutes on the other side of this break. I want to hear from you. Stay tuned.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again.
Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, with his thoughts on the return of Issues Etc.
It's great to be with you guys on Issues Etc. Welcome back. A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again. It's always great to be with you guys.
We're Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian, Issues Etc. Listen live or on demand at www.issuesetc.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Depression, the Silent Epidemic, is the title of a seminar Tuesday evening, February the 10th, at the Wisconsin Room at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Beverly Yonke is the presenter. Learn how to spot signs of depression in yourself and how to help others who are suffering, deeply hurting, or depressed. Find out more about depression, the Silent Epidemic, at www.lmcusc.org or by calling 414-332-5732.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the Sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Audio Open Lines. We're listening to a National Public Radio's interview with Bishop Gene Robinson of the Episcopal Church USA, first openly gay bishop in the Episcopal Church USA. His invitation to say a prayer at an inaugural event for President-elect Barack Obama 1 week from yesterday. It's going to be big media event. Everyone's already gearing up for it. And, you know, I said before the break that there's nothing controversial about the invitation being issued to Gene Robinson. I suppose there's nothing surprising about the invitation. It certainly is controversial. I mean, Gene Robinson is controversy personified in a lot of ways. And we've learned over the last couple of years since about 2003 that he, in some ways, thrives on the controversy that surrounds his elevation to being a bishop and his frequent appearance in the news. But it doesn't surprise me that Barack Obama would choose him to say a prayer. I'd almost feel that he's under an obligation to do something like this. If he's going to have Rick Warren on one side, he might have a Gene Robinson or someone like him on the other side. But really, that's the kind of the more social, moral, political controversy surrounding here. Gene Robinson knows what he is going, he doesn't know what he is going to say when he gets up there at the Lincoln Memorial next week, but he does know what he's not going to say. We'll hear it in just a moment. I want to hear from you too. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. So, what won't Bishop Gene Robinson say in his inaugural prayer next week?
Have you been finding inspiration in the words of other invocations that were delivered?
Actually, I've mostly found caution in the words of others. I've actually read back over the inaugural prayers of the last 30 or 40 years, and frankly, I've been shocked at how aggressively Christian they are. And my intention is not to invoke the name of Jesus, but to make this a prayer for Christians and non-Christians alike. Although I hold the scripture to be the word of God, you know, those scriptures are holy to me and to Jews and Christians, but to many other faith traditions, they have their own sacred texts.
So he doesn't plan on quoting the Bible. That's one thing. Has no intention of quoting the Bible or invoking the name of Jesus. How would you respond to this? A clergyman, a man of God, ostensibly, a bishop in the oldest Protestant denomination in the United States, a man who presides over worship services, preaches, ordains, baptizes, does all the things that bishops are supposed to do, asked to speak at an inaugural event, really kind of those things that only come along once in a lifetime, and he doesn't plan to mention Jesus Christ, and he does not plan to invoke even scripture because, you know, the Bible isn't holy for everyone. Carrie in Minnesota says, I'd have to ask him, weren't you called to share the gospel? So how can you leave it out? Are you ashamed of the gospel? Is there more than one way to God? Good questions, Carrie. Thanks for listening in Minnesota. What about the rest of you? What about your reaction to Gene Robinson? No plans to mention Jesus. That would offend. Not interested in quoting the Bible when he gets there. Martin Luther King Jr. gave the I Have a Speech, I Have a Dream speech from the Lincoln Memorial, and he quoted scripture. But not so today. Care to react? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Talk back at issuesetc.org. What kind of a prayer is it going to be if it doesn't have a Christian prayer? What kind of a Christian prayer is it going to be if it doesn't have the Bible and it doesn't have an invocation of Jesus Christ?
And so rather than insert that and really exclude them from the prayer by doing so, I want this to be a prayer to the God of our many understandings and a prayer that all people of faith can join me in.
The God of our many understandings.
Yes, you know, I was in treatment for alcoholism 3 years ago and am grateful to be sober today. And one of the things that I've learned in 12-step programs is this phrase, the God of my understanding. It allows people to pray to a God of really many understandings. And let's face it, each one of us has a different understanding of God. No one of us can fully understand God or else God wouldn't be God.
I'm not sure that God of many understandings has ever been invoked it in inauguration before?
Well, I've done a lot of things for the first time in my life, and I will be proud to do this one.
Well, Bishop Robinson, thanks for talking with us.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Care to react? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Let's hear from you. 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MYIE, talk back at issuesetc.org. He doesn't know what he is going to say, but he does know what he's not going to say. He's not going to invoke the name of Jesus. He's not going to quote Scripture. And whatever the prayer is, it will be a prayer to the God of our many understandings. He said he learned of this God in the 12-step program, recovering from alcoholism, a God to whom anyone can pray. Because no one can fully understand God. No one can claim to pray to the true God. I mean, come on. No one can fully understand God. You have your God. I have my God. All of us have a little piece of him, apparently, according to Gene Robinson. So the best thing he can do when he stands up there at the Lincoln Memorial with Barack Obama and family looking on, with the nation looking on, the best thing he can do is pray to the God of our many understandings. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. A few minutes left in audio open lines. Will emails us. He says, to whom will he pray and will his prayer be heard? Well, I mean, he gets to choose the object of his prayer, I suppose, the God of our many understandings. So he's going to pray not only to the God he understands, but the God you understand and the next guy understands and the guy down the street understands. So it can't be a kind of exclusive, a narrow view of God. It has to be the broadest view of God. So I suppose included in this are going to be the God of the Buddhists, the God of the Muslims, the God of the Hindus, the God of the Sikhs, the God of the Christians. Well, we'll get back to that in just a moment. God of the Jews, God of the Wiccans, God of the Mormons, God of the none of the aboves, God of the deists. And there are other world religions we could toss in there if it's a God of our many understandings. Now, Will also asks, will his prayer be heard? It'll be heard by those watching on television. It'll be heard by the president. It will be heard by the audience there. Probably all favorably, I imagine. Will it be heard by God? You see, is the God of our many understandings, is it broad enough to include the true God? Does the true God fit into this big or under this big umbrella, the God of our many understandings? What would you say to Gene Robinson? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, talk back at issuesetc.org. Well, you might say, well, God hears everything, doesn't he? He hears, as I often say, the water dripping in my basement. Certainly he hears a prayer, even a prayer, an ill-conceived prayer to the God of our many understandings. I don't know if the Bible promises that. I mean, God certainly hears everything. But does he hear so as to answer? And if he does not hear so as to answer, what's the use of praying in the first place? Is this what the shotgun approach to prayer? I'm just going to throw up the broadest definition of God I can in my prayer, hoping to hit the true one. I don't think that's what Gene Robinson's after. In fact, I think there's more honesty in Gene Robinson's approach to this. He's completely wrong. Don't get me wrong. He is completely wrong. There is no praying to the God of our many understandings. That's a God of your own imagination. And if he's going to leave Christ out and Scripture out, and if it's going to be a distinctly non-Christian prayer, he cannot hope to be praying to anyone but himself and the audience. But I think there's more honesty in Gene Robinson's approach than in the approach of many. At least he recognizes that if you're gonna pray to the generic God of American civil religion, you better not mention Jesus. If you're gonna pray to the God of our many understandings, Jesus won't fit into that definition. Josh in St. Louis says, didn't you say that Bishop Robinson was going to give an invocation. Last time I checked, the words invocation were in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. If you're not saying that it isn't an invocation, well, you're quite right. I mean, but there are, Josh, there are lots of invocations. Go to the well of the house on any given day, and the invocation that is given by the invited preacher often invokes no one. So it's come to mean welcome, blessing, generic prayer. You're right. If it doesn't invoke any particular God, then it is not an invocation. I know that it looks like a broad-minded view of God, the God of our many understandings. And shouldn't Jesus be able to fit under that umbrella, be included there in the pantheon of gods? But Jesus won't fit there. He won't be put there under the umbrella of the God of our many understandings, because the God he comes to reveal in his own person and work is the only true God. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. No Jesus, no true God. No mention of Jesus, no Christian prayer. And Jesus came to reveal a God who is, you're right, Josh, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the true triune God. He has come to reveal the Father to us. He has come to give the Spirit to us. But if there is no Jesus, no Jesus crucified and risen for you, the true Jesus, then we're just talking to ourselves. That's what I expect of Gene Robinson next week, talking to himself. Be right back.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The door to the Ark, why did it stand open?
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the book on effective witnessing called Why Won't They Listen?
Did you know Noah's Ark is a wonderful reminder to us of the need of salvation? The Bible makes it clear that many years before the flood, as Noah was building the Ark, he was warning people about the coming judgment. And then God gave a final warning. In 7 days, the flood would come. The animals and Noah's family were on board the ark. Supplies were loaded. I can imagine Noah preaching fervently, perhaps even giving the countdown day by day. Maybe he would have said something like this. People, the door to the ark is still open. In 7 days, it will be shut. Come through the door and be saved. As the days went by, maybe people heard Noah saying, in 6 days, the flood will come. And then in 5 days, 4 days, and so on. Sadly, only 8 of possibly millions of people were saved. The rest perished, just as God had warned. Did you know God has a similar message for today? Come to Jesus through the Ark of Salvation and be saved while the door is still open.
Is there perhaps some connection between Noah's flood and climate change, known as global warming? For some intriguing reading, you need to get a copy of our new handbook on global warming. It's yours with your donation of any amount today. Call us toll-free at 888-89-ANSWERS, 888-89-ANSWERS, or on the web, answersoffer.org, answersoffer.org.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the Spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.